Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Eagle's Eye Report. Today, we bring you episode number 46 on March 29th, 2023. And of course, as always, the sponsor for this show is TLBTalk.com. Go there and say the things you know need to be said. And you just don't seem to be able to say them anywhere else. The show is hosted by myself, Roger Landry, TLB, and co-hosted and produced by my friend and fellow patriot, Stephen Roberts, who I will bring into the conversation momentarily. And the title of today's show is COVID, What Actually Happened? I mean, how many stories have we heard? We have been in this long enough that there should be a play-by-play description of what has actually happened. Today, we're going to get as close to that as we possibly can. Okay. I'm also going to tell you that the mission of today's show, the mission of any show I do, is not to be a mechanism for communicating anything but truth and facts. And doing it in a country that is increasingly forbidding of these very concepts. Something I never, ever thought I would live to see. This show airs weekly live on Shake and Wake Radio. Our thanks to Annie, who has been a personal friend of mine for many years, and also on PSN Radio, EPGN Radio Online, and SoFlo Radio. And I would like to tell you all again that if you like these platforms and you would like to keep them bringing you the best of the news, then the best thing you can do for them is to donate. And they all know that, and they appreciate your donations. And the best way to do that is to figure out what you donate over the course of a year. Here it comes again. And the next time you go in there to make a donation, you click on the little button that says that make this a reoccurring donation and enter that number you figured. If it's $120 you usually average in donations over the course of a year, and you're going to make it a monthly donation, then it's $10 a month. You're not actually paying anymore, but you are giving them the ability to plan their future, to give you bigger, badder, better, faster, because they know what they can depend on coming in each month rather than it being a hit or miss procedure. Believe me, I know. The Liberty Vegan Project has 6 websites scattered all over the planet, including the social media website. So, yeah, we have an inkling of an idea. All right. Stephen, how are you today, my friend?
Well, surprisingly, I'm doing pretty good. I got up about 8:30 and I haven't been dreadfully tired or anything.
You got up at 8:30?
Yeah, I know
my
it.
My God, you slept in, huh?
I went to bed at 1:30.
Okay, we won't even go there. We will not go there at all, I promise you, okay? This is not a look what I can do. Okay, all right. All right. Our mission is to keep you armed with vital truth as well as to give you a platform where you can discuss these vital truths and issues without fear of censorship or exclusion. That being, of course, the sponsor of this show, which is TLBTalk.com. Some of the information put out on today's show is made available via an article by Kit Knightley. And the link to his or this article will, as usual, be included in tomorrow's article on thelibertybeacon.com Thursday by noon central, including an active link to any important or pertinent information in this show. So, take a look tomorrow. We will not cover everything that Mr. Knightley has to say, but we will cover a lot of it. The rest of it, and he puts out a lot of great information, is available on the article. You will have a link to it. Is it worth going and reading everything from beginning to end? I think so. I thought enough of it to pattern an entire show after it. Look, we have been talking about COVID for how many weeks, how many months, how many years now? We're in the third year of this literally beating us up. And as I said, we have gone through it. We've gone through, oh my God, it's spreading across the world. Oh my God, it's killing all these people. Oh my God, hospitals are inundated. Oh my God, all these people are dying. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. The thing of it is, nobody ever stops to put it into such a chronological order that you can look back on it with some sort of a recognition factor, where you can say, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that's what that did to me. Or this is what I got from that. Or why didn't I know that? Or how come I didn't understand that? This is the chronological order that Mr. Knightley uses. And it's good. It is. We're not going to hit all of the points because he has 40 points and we don't have the time. A lot of the points don't need to be hit because I have beat them up over and over and over again. I will mention them, but we won't delve into them deeply because, well, you'll know why when I mention them. We have done this over and over again. And there is a lot of information that I would like to get out to you. So let's start this up, okay? And again, the name of the show is Eagle's Eye Report, COVID. What actually happened? So let's start out with some talking points. Today, we will try to give a general breakdown as to the pandemic's history and course as it played out over the last 3+ years. A scamdemic, years in the planning, engineering, and choreographing. Yeah. So how did that turn out? And why the heck aren't there a whole lot of people in prison or maybe even some on death row as we speak? And that's a point that we're going to have to delve into a little bit deeper. Look, it's not like the floodgates are opening up and massive amounts of information are pouring in that we didn't know. A lot of this has been suspected. A lot of this has been suspected with enough amplifying factors that we downright believed it, but now we got the okay, I can say this for absolute sure. Why? Because we're looking back at milestones. We're looking at historical events at this point. What happened? How many did it affect? How good was the test? How bad was the test? And we could go on and on with I don't know how many different points. But now it's not Roger talking about this is what I expect to see. Now it's Roger saying this is what we saw and why. This is a different world and one that's not always fun to go into, but at the same time, vindication doesn't feel bad whenever it comes. If I have been called anything over the years, it is a tinfoil hat wearer. Believe me, over and over again. And people ask me, well, how good does it feel when people come up to you and say, well, I remember when you were saying that and we all thought you were crazy. And I tell them the truth. I appreciate the fact that you remember that, but does it feel good? No. We all would have done a whole lot better if everybody would have actually believed it back then. But this is where we sit. We sit with the ability now to look back on a lot of this and see what happened and why it happened, because you can only hide the whys for so long once the whats are up in your face like they are now. What you will hear or read associated with today's show is not new, but a collection of milestone-setting events of defining or defining moments that have seriously impacted more lives on this planet today than at any other point in modern history, hands down. And for all of you saying, come on, Roger, let's stretch it a little bit. They vaccinated over 6 billion people for the yearly flu. And yes, we will roll into that. So don't tell me what I'm exaggerating. Because if you truly believe I am, you're way behind the curve, even for this crowd. Okay? Look around you today, people. Look at the families that you know of that have been destroyed. Look at the businesses that have been destroyed. Look at the entire economies that are in a freefall nosedive. Look at the communities that have been destroyed. And on a global scale, and all of them being destroyed at the same time. Yeah, that's a big coincidence, right, people? It's a big coincidence that all of this is happening everywhere at the same time. And that all of a sudden, a vast majority of the total population of this planet decided to jump up and take something. They didn't have a clue what was going to happen to them after they took it or not. 6.5 billion people estimated by this point in time. It could be more, have already been vaccinated. This is almost as if it was a plan of some sorts. Yeah. You can't force the entire planet to its knees unless you have some pretty damn good arrows stashed away in your quiver. And some, I don't know, detailed pre-game warm-up scenarios already in your rearview mirror. Event 201 and a few other things we will talk about. When I say both are not only likely, but more becomes known on a daily basis as the reality is being forced into the open at a snail's pace, but at a very damning pace. As I told you, we're not looking at a bunch of brand new information spilling out in front of us that none of us ever suspected or none of us ever knew. What we're talking about, what we're knowing more about, is what we've always suspected and what we've been talking about while we've been living through it for the last 2.5 to 3 years. So when people say you don't know what you're talking about, wrong, now we do. We have literally lived through this. So we're going to walk through this scenario again. 40 points, okay? Mr. Kit Knightley, who has done his homework, all right, and put all of this in one place so we can use it with a level of continuity that most wouldn't have been able to use a year ago, 2 years ago. We didn't have the answers we have today. And when you are constantly being asked if these answers are so readily available, why aren't a lot more people in trouble? Because every time something starts to get to a point where it makes sense to enough people, where a focused pushback can start to form, then I don't know if anybody here has noticed on how many times Roger has said this, how many catastrophes are going on across the entire planet simultaneously. And if they don't want you to look at something, they'll give you something else you probably won't be able to tear your eyes away from for at least a day or two. But what you're not thinking about is how many people are dying from COVID vaccines, are you? No, you're not. And when you are using disaster to hide tyranny, tell me what level that puts you on when it comes to the humanity scale. Tell me which level it puts you on. Because anybody who doesn't think that's not exactly what is happening, you are wrong. That is exactly what is happening. Before we jump into this, let me ask you this question again. You get it every week. You're about to get it again. Okay? What are the two things that these globalists need in order to have a totally successful global governance in place. One, they must destroy any semblance of cohesive governance anywhere on the planet. They must destroy local governance. Whether it's state level, whether it's national level, doesn't matter. It must be destroyed. And the second thing is they know that they can't control 8.5 billion people. Not if there's only a couple thousand of them at the very top. There's only a couple dozen of them. They can't do that. So what do? They pare the total population down to a manageable level. We have been talking about this and dealing with this for many, many years. Yeah, the Georgia Guidestones were built because these elites always broadcast exactly what they intend to do. And then when they start to look around and realize that unexplained deaths are rising all across the planet and those who are vaccinated are in a bullseye like no portion of our population has ever been in, when all of this is when people start to realize it, okay. All right, I'm going to stop right there because if I continue, I'm going to jump into an area that I wanted to use to close the show, not open it. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through these 40 points of what is COVID? What was COVID? What did we supposedly live through? I have also told everybody, I don't know how many people have heard me say this, but I will say it again, that these are always ideas that we were made aware of. They always were. Anything that happens to us, we were made aware of. The Georgia Guidestones were destroyed because a lot of people are aware of the fact that they pretty much preach, keep humanity under 500 million in tune with nature. Yeah. Stop and consider that. There's 8.5 billion of us. So why would they destroy the Georgia Guidestones? Because they're pulling right up on that right about now, wouldn't you say? Might not be too good to have that sitting there. But then again, I don't know how many of you would believe that. But again, we're going to go through the COVID scenario. We're going to go through the 40 points. We'll at least mention them. We may not talk all of them in detail for obvious reasons, but we will mention them. So, the first point, okay. COVID-19 and the flu have identical symptoms. There are no symptoms or collections of symptoms unique or specific to COVID and only COVID. All COVID symptoms are common to many other diseases and conditions, including the collection of common respiratory infections, colloquially known as the flu. So basically, what we have been told on more than one occasion, which is that this had no more knockdown power than and was to be treated or should be treated exactly like the flu, was true. What is a coronavirus? Well, the flu is a coronavirus. What's COVID-19? It's a coronavirus. Okay. So again, we're laying some groundwork there. Okay. It is, in fact, very similar to, in all aspects, the flu. Number two, ground glass is, well, this is, we're going to skip over this one because this is one of those where we're doing some processing in the lungs. And I'd like to stay a little bit shy of that at this point. Next week, we're going to go into some in-depth stuff explaining some things that a lot of scientists already knew, so none of this ever should have happened. But this level first. Okay. Point number three, a loss of smell and taste is not unique to COVID, of which a lot of people are being told. If you got COVID, you can't smell things, you can't taste things. And that's not necessarily true. Okay. With GGOs, it has been widely reported that a loss of a sense of taste and a sense of smell is the telltale sign of COVID. But this is known to be a symptom of many upper respiratory infections. And that is a fact. And that's as deep as we'll go into that. Please do not believe somebody when they tell you if you can't smell it and you can't taste it, you've got COVID. That's not true. How about diagnostic and PCR tests? Let's jump into that. Item number four, it's not possible to clinically diagnose COVID-19. Clinical diagnosis is the practice of diagnosing a disease based on a unique symptom or collection of symptoms. That's a fact. The estimated identification of the disease underlying a patient's complaints based merely on signs, symptoms, and medical history of a patient rather than on laboratory examination or medical imaging. This is what we have had thrown in our face. Was it an actual virus? Has anybody ever been able to prove? Has anybody ever been able to show its isolation? Has anybody? What we have been told over and over again that constantly and continuously proves to be wrong in the long run are all of the things that COVID can and will do, which obviously have proven, very few of them have proven to be true at all. About point number five, lateral flow tests are unreliable. Throughout the pandemic, the most frequently used self-tests for COVID were lateral flow tests, LFTs. These tests are highly unreliable and known to return positive test results from household liquids such as fruit juice or soda pop. Children in the UK frequently broke their LFTs using vinegar or Coca-Cola in order to create a false positive test where they could get off school for a couple of days. Yeah. So there's another test that's absolutely unworthy of being used at all, especially out in public where anybody's going to use it and anybody's going to turn it in. There is no doctor. There is no nurse. It's a home test. PCR tests were not designed to diagnose illnesses. Okay, the reverse transcriptase polymerase chain reaction, RT-PCR test, is described in the media as the gold standard for COVID diagnosis. But Kary Mullis, the Nobel Prize-winning inventor of the process, never intended it to be used as a diagnostic tool and said so publicly. PCR is just a process that allows you to make a whole lot of something out of something. It doesn't tell you that you are sick or that the thing that you ended up with was going to hurt you or anything like that. This is from the person who invented it. Okay? So in other words, the PCR test reliabilities were not, as in 95% of the PCR tests were 95% of the time wrong. PCR tests have a history of being inaccurate or unreliable. The gold standard PCR tests for COVID are known to produce a lot of false positive results by, reacting to DNA material that is not specified or specific to COVID or SARS-CoV-2. Again, another weakness in a test that we've just been told was never intended for this. A Chinese study found the same patient could get two different results on the same test on the same day. In Germany, tests are known to have reacted to common cold viruses. Some tests in the U.S. have even reacted to the negative control sample. None of this is jokes, okay? So now we know the PCR test was a line of crap, but yet everybody had to take it. And even though 95% of the time your answer would be wrong or could be wrong, you were told you had to live by that answer. How about point number eight? Okay. The CT values of the PCR tests are too high. PCR tests are run in cycles. The number of cycles you use to get your result is known as your cycle threshold or CT value. Carrie Mulder says if you have to go to more than 40 cycles, there's seriously something wrong with your PCR. But yet, they do. 35, 30, 40, 45 times. And you're always going to get what? A positive. So everybody, 95% of the time, you take a PCR test and you run it up there like they tell you to, you're going to be positive whether you are or not. And we went through that. About this, the World Health Organization twice admitted PCR tests produce false positives. Listen to me. Twice, the World Health Organization. In 2020, the WHO put out a briefing memo on the PCR process, instructing labs to be wary of the high CT values causing false positive results. Who took them off the market? Who said stop using them? Who? Well, it certainly wasn't the WHO. And if they were screaming as loud as they said they were, which everybody's covering their backside right about now, then don't you think more people would have been saying, well, I think maybe we ought to put a stop to this. To this day, it's still being used in some places. Yeah. So, anyway, let's go to our next point. Let's go to point number 10. Point number 10 is the scientific basis for all COVID tests is questionable. The genome of the SARS-CoV-2 virus was supposedly sequenced by Chinese scientists in December 2019, then published on January 10th on 2020. Less than 2 weeks later, German virologist Christian Dorsten et al. Had allegedly used the genome to create assays for the PCR test. Basically, most people are saying there's no way in hell this happened. They wrote a paper, Detection of 2019 Novel Coronavirus by Real-Time RT-PCR, which was submitted for publication on the 21st, okay, January 21st, 2020, and then accepted January 22nd, meaning the paper was allegedly peer-reviewed in less than 24 hours, a process that usually takes weeks or months. So they're saying they submitted this work, and well, bam, the next day it was peer-reviewed and published. Would anybody here like to bet? Huh? The consortium of over 40 life scientists has petitioned for the withdrawal of the paper, writing that from what they've already seen, the report contains 10 major errors in the paper's methodology itself. But this is what you had to live with, isn't it? How about we go to point 11? Or, Stephen, would you think this might be a good time for a break?
Sure, we can take one. Take 30 seconds. I was going to type in the chat. If they believe that, I got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell them.
Why, certainly.
All right, folks, we'll be back in 60 seconds.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
All right. And like I said, do us all a favor. Go to tlbtalk.com and say the things you don't need to be said. And if you don't go there for any other reason than to start a group so that you can bring other people in who you know and they know need a place to talk, then we will have succeeded in what we're trying to provide you. Okay, so let us continue on here. Let's go to cases and deaths, point number 11. Huge numbers of COVID cases are asymptomatic. Early in the pandemic, it was reported that the majority of COVID cases never exhibited any symptoms. In March 2020, studies done in Italy were suggesting 50 to 75% of positive COVID tests had no symptoms. Another UK study, guess what? 86% of COVID patients experienced no viral symptoms at all. My goodness. Could it be because the tests were wrong? How about point number 12? COVID case numbers are inherently meaningless. From the onset of the pandemic, they have pandemic, I didn't. A COVID case has been defined in terms guaranteed to artificially inflate statistics. A COVID case could be somebody died with COVID versus somebody died of COVID. But yet, the way it's treated in a lot of cases would be the same for both. All right. So from the onset, again, COVID cases were defined in terms guaranteed to artificially inflate statistics. The World Health Organization definition of a confirmed case is anyone who gets a positive PCR result, regardless of symptoms or personal history. Further, it's known that many health agencies around the world, including the U.S. CDC, include probable causes in their statistics. So what this just told you beyond a shadow of a doubt is if they gave you a PCR test, which we now know 95% of the time is going to say that you have something that 95% of the time you probably don't have. So if they gave you a PCR test and it said you had COVID, how much cash do you think you were worth to that hospital? So which case load do you think you fell into? Which statistic? You were in the statistic of people who died from COVID. Yeah. So if we continue on, step 13, COVID deaths were created by statistical manipulation. Since COVID case statistics are inflated, and we know this to be a fact because we've just explained that, and these aren't guesses, we're looking back on facts now, it naturally follows that COVID death statistics would be likewise unreliable. In fact, it was noted from the very beginning of the pandemic that COVID death counts were being artificially inflated. The difference between someone being pushed out of your hospital on a death gurney, dying from something, whatever, could be $20,000 to your hospital. But if they came out having died on a ventilator, having failed a COVID PCR COVID test, which stated you had COVID, you may be worth as much as $240,000 to $250,000 to that hospital. Imagine what Roger just said. According to the UK's Health Standards Agency, the WHO defined a COVID death as the following: A COVID-19 death is defined for surveillance purposes as a death resulting from a clinically compatible illness in a probable or confirmed COVID-19 case, unless there is a clear alternative cause of death that cannot be related to COVID-19 diseases. What? Let me read that again. A COVID-19 death is defined for surveillance purposes as a death resulting from a clinically compatible illness in a probable or maybe confirmed COVID-19 case, unless there is a clear alternative. Okay. I don't think I got to beat that one up anymore. But let's go to number 14, okay? Lockdowns do not prevent the spread of disease. There is little to no evidence lockdowns have any impact on limiting COVID deaths or the transmission. If you compare regions that locked down to regions that did not, you will see no pattern at all. A preprint meta-analysis from Johns Hopkins University found lockdowns had almost no impact at all on COVID-19 mortality. But the thing of it is, they already knew this, which is why it had never really happened in history, with very, very minor exceptions in very small areas inside cities or towns. But hey, that's not what you were told. All right? Lockdowns helped everybody, except they didn't. Okay? They not only didn't help people, but lockdowns kill people. There is strong evidence that lockdowns through social, economic, and other public health damage are deadlier than the alleged virus. And again, they go on to explain it. I suggest you read it, okay? A UN report from April 2020 warned of hundreds of thousands of children being killed by the economic impact of lockdowns when tens of millions more face possible poverty and famine as a result of these lockdowns. The World Bank reported in June of 2021, estimated close to 100 million people had been plunged into extreme poverty by so-called anti-COVID measures. The impact of lockdown could account for any observed increase in excess mortality. Yeah, I said that. Newborn babies during lockdown have lower IQs. A study done at Brown University found that children born after March 2020 had an average IQ of 21 points lower than their previous generation, concluding, questions remain regarding the impact of the work from home, shelter in place, and other public health policies that have limited social interaction and typical childhood experiences on early child neurodevelopment. Isolate your kid and then tell me your kid's not smart. All of the things your kid never had a chance to do, your kid never will have a chance to do because they're not that age anymore. All of the things that help that child to develop are missing. And what is in their place is something no child has grown up with in my recollection. But take a look. Again, what are we doing today? We're looking back on what has happened. We're putting the pieces together. We're looking at what you see after the wrecking ball has already hit the tower. You're looking at the pieces all across the ground and saying, what the hell? Point number 17, hospitals were never unusually overburdened as we were told. How many times did you hear people saying, well, they said the hospital was slammed down the street. So I went down there yesterday evening with my camera, and the two big tents they've got outside, there's nothing in them. The waiting room inside, it was empty. But yet you were told that they were packed. The main argument used to defend lockdowns is that flattening the curve would prevent a rapid influx of cases and protect the healthcare system from collapse. But most healthcare systems never even came close to collapse at all. As a matter of fact, they raked in a lot of money. If you are worth $240,000 to $250,000 to a hospital because you went out of the hospital having died on a respirator after being told that you had COVID, when they know for a fact today that between 75% and 86% of COVID patients with serious COVID that are put on a ventilator will die. I don't know who's listening to what I'm saying right now, but does that sound suspiciously like premeditated murder? How many millions of dollars sit in the coffers of hospitals today because your grandfather or your father or your mother or your great uncle went out having died while they were trying to save his life on a respirator because he had COVID? And they're still doing that today, people. Don't tell me it's not about the money when we're talking about hospitals. Don't tell me first do no harm when we're talking about your doctor. Because without the cooperation of those people that run those hospitals and those doctors that make things happen within those hospitals, none of this could have happened. Okay, we're going to go over the next couple here. Ventilators. Ventilation is not a treatment for respiratory infections. Mechanical ventilation is not and never has been recommended treatment for respiratory infections of any kind. In the early days of the pandemic, many doctors came forward questioning the use of ventilators to treat COVID. But, okay, they did it anyway, didn't they? This was not a medical policy designed to best treat the patients, but rather to reduce the hypothetical spread of COVID by preventing patients from exhaling aerosolized droplets. In other words, not to keep you from breathing something in you shouldn't, but to keep you from breathing things out other people shouldn't be breathing in. And this was made clear in unofficially published guidelines and officially published guidelines, but yet they still use them. Ventilators kill people. Putting someone on a ventilator who is suffering from influenza, pneumonia, chronic obstructive pulmonary diseases, or any other condition which restricts breathing or affects the lungs will not alleviate any of those symptoms. In fact, it will almost certainly make them worse, and it will kill many of them. What the hell did I just tell you? How much are they worth to that hospital having gone out with COVID because the PCR test said you had it and dying on a ventilator? $220,000 to $250,000 is what they're worth to that hospital. How much were they worth to you and your family? This isn't a joke, people. None of this is. How about we go to masks now? Masks don't work. At least a dozen scientific studies have shown that masks do nothing to stop the spread of respiratory viruses, especially if you're wearing a cloth mask. Let me give you a hint. A virus going through the pores of a regular cloth mask is the equivalent of dropping a freaking BB through a hula hoop. Yes, I said that intentionally. A virus passing through the pores of a mask would be like a BB dropping through a freaking hula hoop. Not much there to stop it, is there? But that's not what you were told. Okay? If you stop to consider how much actual damage can be done by a mask, by rebreathing all of the things your body is trying to exhale, when you inhale, your body gets the things it needs to survive. When you exhale, it gets rid of the things it no longer needs or the poisons it's trying to get rid of. By putting a mask, especially on a child, it doesn't take long for most of those small pores to be sealed up with the moisture from his breath. What remains open is not very big, but at the same time, it's trapping a lot of the crap your body's trying to get rid of, and your child constantly rebreathes that over and over and over again for hours. And that is dangerous for our children, and they know this. But how many times did they tell you that your child couldn't go into school unless they were wearing a mask? Yeah. How about vaccines? COVID vaccines are totally unprecedented. Before 2020, no successful vaccine against a human coronavirus had ever been developed. And then all of a sudden, in a couple of months, they tell you they've got one. Let me explain something to you. They have been working on the mRNA vaccines for well over a decade prior to us even hearing anything about this, even prior to the commencement of Event 201. So when they tell you they developed these in a couple of months to save the world, it's a line of crap. Scientists have been trying to develop a SARS and MERS vaccine for years, mRNA vaccines, with very little success. Some of the failed SARS vaccines actually cause hypersensitivity to the SARS virus, meaning that vaccinated mice could potentially get the disease more severely than unvaccinated mice could. Another attempt caused liver damage and other things in ferrets. So we knew for a very long time that these things were dangerous. We knew that, and we also knew the day they started pumping them into humanity that there were over 1,200 side effects that they tried to hide from you and I. These are dangerous and deadly pharmaceutical side effects. First, do no harm. Know what goes into your body. My body, my choice. None of that applies here. When you have over 1,200 dangerous or deadly side effects to a vaccine, a dozen, 10, 20 years ago, and a vaccine never would have been allowed on the market. Never mind 1,200 plus. And they were going to hide them for 75 years. Why? Why would you hide over 1,200 dangerous vaccine interactions with somebody you're forcing to take a vaccine? With somebody you're forcing to take a vaccine, which we already know is more dangerous to the body than what you're trying to prevent them from getting. Is this making a little less sense to everybody every time I add something on here, a new point? How about we go to point 25? COVID vaccines do not confer immunity or prevent transmission. Why the hell did we kick all of those people out of the military? Because they're in a tank. And if they're in a tank and you're this close to two other people and they've been vaccinated and you haven't, then you're a danger to them. So you've got to go. You might be, wait a minute. I thought if you were vaccinated, you didn't get it. Oh, yeah, but just in case. Okay, so Now you're telling me that even if you're fully vaccinated, you can still get COVID-19 and you can still transmit COVID-19, yet you're still forcing our men and women out of the military because they are in confined spaces like tanks, like aircraft, like submarines. But now we know that you could still get it, and now we know you could still give it. So why are you still destroying our military? We know for a fact that a vaccine, all the way up until 3 years ago, was something that could keep your body from getting a virus. Thus, if your body couldn't get the virus, it couldn't store the virus. Thus, if your body couldn't get or store the virus, you couldn't transmit the virus. Now we know with the COVID vaccines, which they're not vaccines, they do not qualify, you can get it, your body can store it, and you can give it. How the hell is that a vaccine? It isn't. And most of the people dying from COVID today are dying from an exacerbated COVID they got after being fully vaccinated. Gee, isn't that one of the things they said they were worried about? Okay. How about point 26? The vaccines were rushed and have unknown long-term effects. They may have been rushed to market, but they have been playing with them for quite a while. And on their long-term effects, this is where me and the author may part just a little bit. I'm going to tell you they have a pretty damn good idea exactly what's going to happen over the next 10 to 15 years. What happens when the birth rate closes down in the next 2 to 3 years and there are no new births to replace the deaths? What happens when the unexplained deaths, which are going up by an average of 40% per year right now, all of a sudden triple, quadruple, whatever? What happens when myocarditis spreads? What happens when? You have no more immune system, you 6.5 billion people that are fully vaccinated, which means it won't be COVID that kills you. It won't be the vaccine that'll kill you. It will be something that your immune system may have saved you from, but being fully vaccinated with COVID jabs, you don't have that immune system, or at nowhere near the level you once did. What we're looking at right now is a horrible situation that is only going to grow. The next 10 to 15 years in this country or anywhere on this planet scares the living crap out of me. Vaccine manufacturers have been granted legal indemnity should they cause harm, which means they were aware. They knew this, and there's actual proof that they knew of certain effects these vaccines would have well before they ever went out to the public. They knew people were going to die. They knew these things. And now they've got total absolution, which means everybody in your family could die. They knew this before you went out and took this vaccine. They knew this when the government made it mandatory that you get this vaccine. And they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that a certain percentage of people who took those vaccines were not going to live to see the next day or something close to that. But they're never going to go to jail. Okay, how about we go to point number 28, COVID vaccines carry a significant risk of adverse side effects. I think we're going to skip over that. I think I beat that one up pretty damn good. Side effects beyond anything you can imagine. How about the survival rate for COVID? We were told it was the most deadly thing on the planet. It would kill everything and anything in sight. The hospitals were crammed. There, you couldn't even get a freaking ambulance in there, which was all lies. But this is what we were told. It was the most deadly disease. If you got it, your chances of dying were like huge. Do you know that the overall death rate for COVID right now is 99% or higher, which means you have less than 1/100th of a percent of chance of getting, you know, serious case of COVID or dying from COVID. But that's not what they led you to believe. It isn't. And if you compare it to the yearly flu, you'll see exactly why the Moderna CEO stated that outside of having some severe comorbidities or being over 80 years old, COVID-19 is no worse than the yearly flu. This is what their CEO said. Stop and think about that, people. Okay. As a matter of fact, a vast majority of deaths, that's 0.30, of COVID deaths were because people died with serious comorbidities. In other words, they got even a bad case of the flu would kill somebody who was terminal and almost dead from cancer or many other diseases or comorbidities they may have that have them on the edge. And all it takes is a bad cold or a case of the flu, and it pushes you over the edge. Again, if you died with COVID and the PCR test said you did, then it didn't matter what your comorbidities were. You died from COVID. End of story. How about the average age of COVID death is greater than the average life expectancy? Let's say the life expectancy in this country is 78. Wait a minute. I would say in the U.S., I think it is 78. So if the average life age is 78 in the United States, and the average person dying from COVID is about 81 or 82 years old. Again, that doesn't square with the lies you've been told about this, does it? About how this is the worst thing ever happened to humanity. COVID mortality exactly mirrors the natural mortality curve. People dying from COVID are dying from COVID on the same curve that the average human being is measured on when they die. There's no high point. There's no low point. They fit the exact same death curve that anybody going through an experience like that would go through. Again, that's not what we were told. Okay? Chances of dying from coronavirus versus any normal annual risk, the chances of dying from the coronavirus are no better or no worse than any other risk. But that's not what they would have you believe, is it? What we're doing here is we're looking back, and I want you to go and look because there's some great additional information in there. Okay. I want to talk about the fact that the flu disappeared for 3 years in the United States when we have well over 100,000 cases every year, but it totally disappeared except a couple of cases each year. Why? They all became COVID cases instantly. Listen, people, today was all about looking back and putting the pieces together from all the things we had said and what we actually saw. Next week, we're going to finish this, only we're going to take it into the political and the death realm at the end. We're only 2/3 of the way through this, and we are going to show you the tyranny that has been slammed in your face. The things we have been telling you were going to happen and actually did happen. We're past the point of what might happen. Today you heard what we've seen. Next week, what you're going to hear is what we sure as to hell didn't want to see. All right, Steve, would you like to say anything? I realize I ran us right up to the bumper again, but I do appreciate you.
No, everything's okay. I think we had a good show, like normal.
Next week, we're going to take this all the way through the legal portions of it, the whole nine yards, the freedom portion. We're literally going to put this in place.
Yep.
Okay?
All righty. Till next time, folks.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you next week.